Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 12th of June, recording at 9:13 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the review. A bit more of the same, I'm afraid. Here, stock markets are pretty well all on the downside. A couple of them, Japan and Australia, had small rallies here today, but that's very much going against the overall trend. Europe down, not down heavily relative to what we'd seen last week. But Wall Street, this is probably the bigger news on stock markets today, having really traded around a break-even level for most of the day, mostly a little bit down. It sold off quite sharply in the last hour of trading, with gains on the major indices. Well, the Dow down a little, just under 1%, that's nearly 100 points, 99 points. S&P down 1.27%, and the NASDAQ comp, that's a leading indicator, remember, down 2.05. They're not going to like that in Asia or Europe tomorrow. To state the obvious, government bonds a little bit steadier against that background, but with all the inflation talk, it's a fairly moderate rally overall. And U.S. dollar, which tends to strengthen when Wall Street's quite weak here, that's something I've talked about plenty recently, but we're seeing that pattern repeated here today. The dollar was a little easier earlier on, but then strengthened as Wall Street declined. One notable exception there is against the Canadian dollar, and I've commented on that today. And in the terms of the metals, well, again, when we get Wall Street selling off, they tend to weaken. They were already weak given the general easier tone that we had seen for stock markets, and metals closed not with big declines, but near the lower side of the day. Gold, spot gold, for instance, 604.75 as I speak. That's down 270 on the day. We had more in, sorry, I've got a scratchy voice here today. Well, we had bigger declines in platinum and also in the silver market. I'm just going to stop a second and take a drink of water. Excuse me. Too much shouting during the tennis match on Sunday, perhaps? Who knows? Hopefully not a cold coming on. Okay. Gold, that was down. Natural gas, I mentioned the metals. Oil was down today also, and natural gas up a little bit to round out the day's events. But where do we go from here? Well, we still have this medium-term correction in global stock markets, only it is unfolding quite rapidly. And one of the main reasons for that is because central banks have been leaning on it. And that's an overreaction, in my view. I've described central bank policy as fairly ham-fisted in here, having sown the seeds of inflation to begin with, and then deciding that it was about time to rein in some of that asset inflation that we were seeing, let alone prevent it from spreading on into wages to any real extent. They've been raising interest rates for quite some time. Well, that's all sensible stuff. But with the very predictable stock market correction commencing, and with high-flying commodity prices coming off the top in another equally predictable correction, central banks are making the mistake here of leaning on these markets. And that risks an accident. Here, I don't want to spread rumors, but let's put it this way, I'm not. But if you have, for instance, some hedge funds that are experiencing redemptions, and if they also start to get margin calls from their banks because the banks decide to become more conservative and they're not willing to lend as much money out as they were previously to some of these hedge funds, then you get a self-feeding decline. And if that takes place, again, it increases the risk of a mini crisis. And if you frighten the market sufficiently, that can damage consumer sentiment sufficiently. And I would estimate that with the amount of liquidity that has been drained out of the system, that we were always going to see a slowdown in the global economy. And there's no need to really exacerbate that correction. So here we have this sharp reaction overall in asset prices, and I think that well, I hope actually that this causes central banks to blink fairly soon. Nothing really is gained by a major overreaction at this stage. Now you get some hardliners saying, well, we need to purge a lot of debt out of the US system. Well, sure, but you don't attempt to do it all in one go, and the central banks won't, of course. Now, the good news, let's focus on the good news here, is that real value is coming back into these markets, and the number of stock markets that are seeing their major indices drop back down to PE ratios in the low teens, number are moving below that 10% level, is rising practically on a daily basis. And that is, as I say, is very, very good news because value is returning to these markets. Now, at this stage, I am, well, I shouldn't, let me start again on that without prefacing it with this stage. I look for no more than a medium-term correction in here. I certainly don't see any sign that it is over, and I certainly wouldn't have expected the medium-term correction to be nearly over in June, and it's not. But a number of these markets, have they seen the bigger portion of their correction that's likely to take place? Well, one can only guess at that, but value is returning to these markets fast enough that unless central banks are even thicker than I think they are, we have seen some of these markets, at any rate, pass the midway point of their overall correction. Now, I think that it will be done and dusted in terms of we will have seen the full correction and be in the recovery phase before the end of October. And we may well get down to those lows where markets go into some sort of trading range, sustainable trading range, well before then. But generally, if you fall very, very rapidly and break primary trends, the rapid decline tends to necessitate a somewhat longer ranging convalescence before investors regain their nerve. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that type of action overall. But the main thing I'm thinking about right now is what will I want to buy next? And it looks like I'll be spoiled for choice in here. And I suspect that the best opportunities will be in those same sectors that I had liked so much previously, and that I still like. Now, if this was some sort of major bear market, and statistically a number of indices I don't doubt will fall enough to qualify as statistical bear markets, but I'm talking really about a 3 to at maximum 6 months market slide in here, and this is very much a medium-term correction in my books. But again, if you want to call it a short sharp bear market, I won't quibble with you. It's a question of semantics. But the point I'm trying to make here is that a move of this nature is going to be very different from what we saw, for instance, with the NASDAQ bubble when it killed off that technology sector in terms of being a top performer, I think for pretty much a generation, because something like that is not going to be repeated again. In this medium-term correction, I think all that will do is bring the sectors that we liked and saw get overhyped on the upside, run ahead of themselves, in other words, come back to really very attractive levels again. So I will be shopping in terms of beefing up my investment portfolio in the resources area and in the emerging markets and in some developed country stock markets such as South Korea and Japan. Those would be high on my list. But in the meantime, I'm content to watch this move unfold and pay attention to what the central banks are actually doing here, because I think I have said on a number of occasions that the extent and nature of this actual decline would be determined by central bank policy more than anything else. And as to repeat myself, they've been leaning on the markets here recently. So, if I were advising someone, and I don't give advice, I just tell you what I think and I tell you what I do. I don't advise because Fuller Money subscribers come in all shapes and sizes in terms of portfolios, come from all over the world, over 52 different countries at the last count, and have a variety of different interests. Many are long-term investors, some are traders and investors, some are mainly traders, some are more interested in equities, others in commodities, some in currencies. So, in other words, we're a broad church. We have a rich diversity of interests here. So I don't make recommendations on that basis. It would be recommendations for whom? A case of recommendations for whom? So instead, I tell you exactly what I think and exactly what I'm going to do in here. And but in the hypothetical situation that if someone had come back from a long sabbatical away from the markets and then said, "Gosh, David, what do I do with my investment portfolio?" Well, I would say it's too late for you probably to think about sensibly selling in here. Okay, yes, I think markets will go lower in the very short term, but then would you get back in when they were lower, or would you be deterred by the overall sentiment that will prevail at the time? And my message would be, hopefully you've got some cash set aside. If that's the case, then you really want to be thinking about what you're actually going to be buying next in here, and that opportunity will present itself in a few months' time, no doubt. Okay, onto the government bonds. I have not favored retreating to that area, although I fully expect them to rally a little bit higher, certainly while stock markets are weak. And they may also get a little bit of a second wind when central banks declare that they've had sufficient success in curbing inflation pressures to stop hiking interest rates. That would help the bonds a little bit more. And at that point, I would wait until we'd seen a little bit further. I will wait until we've seen a little bit further rally, and then I'll commence shorting. Because this is a long-term inflationary cycle, it's not going to be linear, it'll be choppy. There's too much debt around, that's not going to change. And inflation is the debtor's friend. And who are the biggest debtors of all? Governments, for the most part. In terms of currencies, I think this dollar rally, first short covering, then US investors in particular withdrawing money from emerging markets and other offshore investments and repatriating capital. This can go on a little bit longer in here, but I think that the weakness of the US dollar against the Canadian dollar on Friday and again today tells us the direction in which the dollar is next going to move, rather than its creeping rally against the euro and Swiss franc. And when that dollar does take its next downward leg, we'll probably see the precious metals firming up quite sharply. I think the precious metals are back in an interesting, attractive value area here, but again, they're still drifting down, so I don't see any evidence on the charts that the correction is over. Ditto the industrial metals. Precious metals in particular, though, I think silver and gold are really quite interesting at these levels. But again, weak stock markets, rallying dollar, they can easily come a bit lower in here. But I suspect, I would feel quite strongly that we have seen well over half of the decline that we're likely to get by gold and silver. And last but not least, in terms of the energy complex, mostly a ranging market for oil, but still within that overall secular upward trend. And I think it would take a severe global recession, and presumably not even the central banks would be foolish enough to unleash that. And there's no other factor that I see as capable of unleashing that anytime soon. And natural gas, cheapest natural resource right now. You see that the hurricane season has actually started. Is it Alberto? Alberta? I think it's Alberto. The tropical storm heading towards Florida right now. Just reminding everybody that there'll be some weather events ahead, and some of those may well cause concern over the production facilities in the Gulf of Mexico. And I think that's pretty much it, so I'll just wish you all the best.